Eat shit and die, Ricky!
Eat shit and live, Bill.
People's eyes are gonna pop out of their damn skulls when they see this.
Listen, you little bitch. You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish.
Finger licking good.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Horror Flicks and Guitar Picks podcast. I'm your host, Tim Trashmouth Mills, and today's episode is one of our Tiny Terrors minisodes, and I'll be talking about the 1987 film, The Running Man. Now, of course, for those that don't know, this film was based on a Stephen King book back when he was writing under the name Richard Bachman. However, this film was never truly attached to King in that way. You know, it's never been called Stephen King's The Running Man, or, you know, like I said, on a lot of other podcasts, my mom's a huge Stephen King fan, and, you know, this was never one she talked about. So I never really watched this film growing up. So that's what sparked me doing this for a Tiny Terrors episode, is I had never seen this film growing up, and I just watched it for the first time this past week. And that's because news broke, for those that don't know, that Edgar Wright is going to be doing a remake of this, and they announced his cast lead, and I can't remember who exactly they said. I'll look it up while I continue to talk, but it's the guy that was in that rom-com recently with Sydney Sweeney. But either way, pretty much when we were talking about this in our group chat for our monthly roundtable episodes, everybody was like, man, you got to see the original. Like, you'll really enjoy it. It's super fun and campy. And I got to say, I agree. But before I dive too much into that, I just remind you guys to go follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and X for all updates on the podcast. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by just sharing it around or rating and subscribing wherever you're listening. Or if you would like to, you can sign up for the Patreon. It is only $2 a month. The link for that is in the description. You get some stickers in the mail, a shout out on a future episode, and a couple other perks as well. So check that out if you're interested. Now, with this film being so old, I'm not really going to talk too much about it. I'm just going to give my brief thoughts, you know, like, would I recommend it, what I like about it, if there's anything I don't, and then I'll give a rating. But then after that, I do want to kind of talk about a few differences between the book and the movie. So, of course, if you haven't read the book, there will be spoilers for that. However, going forward, I would say that there's a light spoiler alert in effect for the film. However, I'm not really going to spoil that until I get to the very end of the episode where I compare the ending of the book and the movie, so... And for those wondering, I did look it up, Glenn Powell is the star of Edgar Wright's upcoming Running Man, so, which I'll talk a little bit more about that once I get into this, you know, as I talk about this film, you know, what I would like to see from that Running Man, as well as, you know, kind of my thoughts on it in general. But like I said, I never saw this film. I watched it for the first time like 3 nights ago, and then I spent the whole next day at work listening to the audiobook. And I gotta say, if I would have listened to the audiobook first, I would have not wanted to watch this movie. Not because the audiobook is bad, but just because... immediately from like scenes of the movie, you could tell that they're not the same. So that kind of lends right into my first thing, which is, would I recommend this film? And of course, I 100% would recommend this film. It's super campy, super fun. It's short and to the point. The only reason I wouldn't recommend this film is if you're a huge fan of the book and really want a film that adapts that. This really doesn't do that. It kind of just takes very little elements throughout and, you know, puts them in different ways, but overall this is completely different from the book. And then I also wouldn't recommend it if you're just not an Arnold fan. Like, this is right up there with his other films as far as quality for me, but if you don't like those, then of course you're not gonna like this. So, but some of the things I really liked about this film is, my favorite movie of all time is Back to the Future, and the problem with that film is that even in the future of that, just, you know, obviously we've hit that point and it's just unrealistic how far they went with things. But in a film like this, it almost feels like a future that could exist, you know, like, there's nothing that's over the top, like, mind-reading technology, there's nothing that's, you know, super crazy as far as these weapons that will shrink you, or this or that. It's, everything still lives in this kind of heightened reality, and that's one thing I really enjoyed about this, especially being a film that came out back in the 80s and was guessing, because that's one difference between the film and the book, is that the film takes place in 2017, and I think the book, if I'm not mistaken, is in 2025, so... Another thing I really like about the film is obviously the cast. You know, you got Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is just great in every lead that he does. You have fucking Jim Brown showing up, Jesse Ventura, which Jesse Ventura and Arnold have this really badass fight towards the end, which is technically not them in the movie because, you know, if you've seen it, you know that it's like digital enhancing to kind of trick the crowd into thinking it's them. But still, the fight's badass. You got Richard Dawson in here. You got freaking, I'm always worried I'm saying his name wrong, but Yaphet Kotto, who is also in Alien. So this is a complete stat cast. Dweezil Zappa's even in this film. I don't know why, but that's pretty cool. So, and then like I said, when I was saying what I recommended, it's also straight into the point. This is an hour and 41 minutes. The pacing is excellent. It moves pretty fast, and it's like always something interesting happening. You know, from Go, you're kind of learning about the character within the first, you know, 5 to 10 minute scene. And then right after that, you kind of learn about the, you know, where the government's at, you know, the hype behind the games and the Running Man. And then you also start to meet your villains and stuff like Killian. And you also meet this girl that's going to become another big character. Amber Mendez is the character's name. So it does a good job of just constantly moving along. And once the games get going, it doesn't take long for it to get into the game of the Running Man. And once it does, it really just stays action-packed and stays super fun and keeps you really interested in the movie itself. Plus, Arnold's dropping one-liners the whole time. So there's some campy fun throughout. There's some pretty cool kills, like a random head explosion that I didn't expect. And one thing I really enjoy about the film that you don't get in the book, so to kind of start leaning into those comparisons a little bit early, is these awesome characters of the Hunters aren't in the book. They just call them the Hunters, and they never really matter in the book that much. He's just told, like, hey, if you kill a Hunter on TV, you'll get extra money for it at the end if you survive, and this and that. But the characters of, like, Buzzsaw and fucking Fireball and all those guys, they're just excellent to see, like, these, like, boss battles as the film progresses, and each one was more interesting, and you always wanted to see, like, what character would be coming next and stuff like that. So that kind of lends into, like, my thing with Edgar Wright's upcoming film. I'm kind of bummed because I love Edgar Wright, and his tone is perfect to remake the film, but I feel like the film doesn't really need a remake. If somebody's going to do it, they might as well adapt the book because it's so different. However, the problem with that is Edgar Wright's tone doesn't really fit what the book's tone is. It really fits with the tone of this movie, which is super fun, campy, bright colors, fast-paced, all that stuff. But the tone of the book is super dreary, very, like, dark. It almost feels like more of Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049. I don't know. It just really doesn't feel like Edgar Wright's the right guy to adapt the book. But if they're going for more of a remake of the movie, I think he can make a really fun adaptation for sure. Not that it's necessary, but, I mean, it'll be on Paramount Plus, so it'll be free to watch for those that have that. Also, this film has one of those basic, you know, right on top of the surface plot lines of corrupt government, you know, wronging the wrong guy. Very similar to, like, a They Live. I feel like this is a perfect double feature with They Live, because they both play on that same type of thing, but in completely different ways. And then you got two badasses. You got Arnold and Rowdy Roddy Piper. So, but as far as negatives go for this film, I really don't have any. Even as an older film, there's no point where I felt like, oh, this doesn't hold up. There's no weird CGI. Like I said, the future doesn't even feel unrealistic in any ways. Kind of feels like it could still be that way, you know, in an alternate 2024 or whatever, or 2017, 2025, whatever you're comparing to the book or the movie. And they really never, like, make Arnold too strong in this. Like, that's one thing, is even though he's big, they cast a lot of big dudes for their freaking Hunters, and they come in and, like, they put up fights with him. He usually has to outsmart them more than just, you know, outmuscle them and stuff. So no, I really enjoy this film. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it, and if you're a fan of the book, definitely don't go in expecting that. So, and of course, I'll rate this thing just because that's what I do in these Tiny Terror episodes. With this being older, it's kind of hard to rate, you know, but I'll give it an 8 out of 10 just because I had so much fun with it. I could see it being super rewatchable. If it was streaming more places, I feel like more people would throw it on more often. And no, I just definitely love this film, especially seeing it for the first time after 35 years, I think. So 37 years. Now, that being said, I'm going to go into the differences between the book and the movie. I'm only going to cover like 3 or 4, but they're just very big. So in the movie, of course, he is doing it because he has been wronged by the government. He is a soldier of some kind of, you know, stature or whatever. And at the beginning of the movie, they're flying a helicopter and he's told to just gun down a whole town full of people. And he's like, no, there's kids and children, or there's women and children down there and stuff. And they're, you know, I'm not going to do that. So they pretty much lock him up and exile him and say, like, okay, well, we're going to do it anyways and blame it on you. So that's exactly what they do. They beat him up and hold him down, and then they pretty much shoot up all the people and blame it on him. So as he's in prison serving his sentence for that, he tries to escape with a couple of his buddies, and they see him, and they're like, man, this guy looks like a good competitor for our show, The Running Man. And that's, of course, how he ends up on The Running Man in the movie, and it's all about them just, you know, him being a scapegoat for the government. Well, in the book, it's pretty much like, if you want to be on The Running Man, you have to go and do, like, weeks-long auditions and, like, mind tests and body tests and all this and that. And pretty much it's for the poor to come in and apply and try to make money, you know, and the wealthy is just making money off the poor. So it's way more of like a class thing in the book, you know, compared to the movie. And in the book, the reason for Ben Richards doing it is because he's got a sick daughter who is only 18 months old. She has the flu and pneumonia. And while that is curable, you have to have money for your doctors and stuff like that. And like I said, it's, you know, this is about the poor versus the wealthy, and he really needs the money. So that's one of the major differences. Of course, the tone is another major difference. In the book, there's a lot of dark things, like he takes a hostage, and at one point, the government's about to gun her down as well, just because there's no cameras around. There's also moments where they, like, torture a guy for information, where they stick needles in his eyes and stuff like that. So there's just a lot more, like, dark tone in the book, where the movie is very fun. Like I said, kind of like every other Arnold movie, like the Terminator films at times, and Total Recall and stuff. So, and my favorite, Last Action Hero. And like I said earlier in the episode, another one of the big differences is the lack of the hunter characters. In the book, it really is boring at times because he's kind of just moving through normal life with like average people helping him and this and that, which I understand that book was, you know, the book was written first and stuff like that. But that's where I feel like the movie really elevates, is by creating these characters throughout the game that really elevate, you know, the danger and this and that, which there's points in the book that have some awesome scenes, you know, where a crowd of, you know, the lower class is helping him out and, you know, keeping the cops from being able to get to him and this and that. So it's just not quite as interesting. And also in the book, he's got to go for 30 days. I can't remember what the movie said, but I think it was only like a couple, like 24 hours or some shit like that. It's definitely not 30 days like it is in the book. But, and then of course the major ending, which here comes a big spoiler alert, but in the movie, of course, he just beats the government and sends Killian down to like the lower class, which is the only comment on the lower class thing in, you know, the movie. They send Killian down to them and they pretty much take care of business. But as far as the book goes, he ends up capturing a plane and flying it into the games building and killing all of the people within it. So he not only sacrifices himself, but it's super dark because right before that, they tell him, like, hey, your wife's been stabbed 60 times, like a bunch of other weird shit. They try to, you know, con him into giving up his life pretty much, and he gives them a big fuck you. So it's a really cool ending in the book, but it just definitely wouldn't have worked with the tone of the movie. And I prefer the movie because it's like a lighthearted ending to a lighthearted movie. But the book, the ending does fit with that book's tone and everything, and I definitely feel like it's a pretty good ending considering a lot of people give, you know, Stephen King flack for his endings. So now I really enjoyed the movie. Wouldn't necessarily recommend the book, especially if you're trying to watch the movie and, you know, you don't want to compare the two. But it is part of the Bachman book series that Stephen King released, and it's also on Spotify Premium. If you have that, you get free audiobooks and stuff up there. It's one of the free ones, so that's how I listen to it. But the only other thing I want to mention is Freevee. They didn't really mention Freevee much in the movie that I can remember, but Freevee is pretty much like what The Running Man is on. It's their new version of TV where it's just free for everybody, and but that's how it stays government controlled. And The Running Man isn't as big in the, it's their biggest show, but Freevee is what's talked about, you know, like it's just being like super popular, like everybody's always watching Freevee and watching the games. So in the book, there's like a bigger world of like these other games. They kind of mention one called Crocodile something and stuff like that, that you kind of get interested in, but you never get to see or hear about too much. So that is one thing that would be fun about, like, if they adapted the book a little bit more, is that or if they took some more elements from the book, is they might be able to do stuff like that. But even then, I feel like that stuff only works if you're going mini series with this, because to try to shove anything more than the elements they used in the original movie into a new movie, it's either going to be a really long movie or it's going to just feel like a clusterfuck. So I don't know. I'm excited to see what Edgar Wright does, because like I said, I'm a huge fan. Last Night in Soho is probably my favorite horror film of the last 5 years, because I think at this point, Hereditary is over 5 years old, so I can say that confidently. But no, I'm really excited to see what he does. Definitely just go check this original one out, because this movie fucking rips. It's on Amazon. You can rent it for like $3. They have a bunch of awesome Blu-rays out now, like 4K sets, steelbooks. There's a bunch of different versions of it available on Amazon, and none of them are super pricey. So if you haven't picked it up, want to add it to the collection, it's up there. Thank you guys again so much for listening. And don't forget to check back tomorrow, as I'll be joined by my monthly roundtable guys, as we're talking about the 1979 classic, The Warriors. And we'll also be joined by Candy, the final girl of Pot of the Damned, as well as a small cameo from Thomas G. Waits. So thank you guys so much for listening, and stay safe.